Romans chapter 8.
That's why I applied for this position. And I don't want to focus on my weaknesses, but I do have some. Well, that might be a legitimate answer, but maybe your boss might want to know what your weaknesses are, and maybe for the following reason. Maybe many employees have such weaknesses as the following, and so a boss doesn't want someone who won't take criticism well, is impatient, lazy, easily bored, procrastinates, is persistently late, takes things personally, strong-willed, passive, doesn't like conflict. Now listen, very likely nobody wants to be known for their weaknesses. Do you want to be known for your weaknesses? But listen, without your awareness of your weaknesses, you are not growing. Well, today I've got one specific weakness on my heart that I want to bring up to your attention today. And I'm going to say to you that it is the most widespread weakness in our church. And just for clarification, I have the exact same weakness that you have. Now, very likely you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that says this, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Well, listen, folks. There is no weakness that has taken you that is more common to man than this particular one that I want to bring to your attention. I'm going to turn to Romans 8, verse 26, and I'm going to see if you can spot that weakness with me in your Bible. Here it is, Romans 8, 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Title today is "Lord, Help Me When I Pray." Father, I do thank You that You will help us indeed when we pray. We thank You, Lord, that You are the all-wise One, and we certainly need Your wisdom. You are the one, dear Lord, who's filled with joy, and we need Your joy. You are the one who is indeed love, and we need Your love. You are the one who understands, Lord, and we need understanding. You are the God of all grace. We need grace, Lord. You are a God of all mercy. We need mercy. We pray that, Father, that our hearts today would be receptive to what You have to say, Lord. There's so many things in our lives, so many challenges, so many problems, or sometimes troubles that are mammoth troubles. And we know, Lord, that even we could say we don't understand, but we know You do, Lord. So we bring ourselves to You first, dear Lord, and we ask that You will instruct us in our spirits. There's something that You have for us today, Lord. Help us to be receptive to what You have to say to our spirits, I pray in Christ's name. If we would be honest with one another, the one area that we should be able to succeed in as Christians is prayer. But the one area that we most often fail in is prayer. So if you are weak in the area of prayer, would you please remember this? You're in the same boat that everyone here is in this morning. Let me show you what Paul is saying. This word, notice in verse 26, it uses the word infirmities. You see that? That's plural. See that? It just simply means weakness. Weaknesses. Plural. Anybody here with any pain? Anybody suffering? Anybody with any trials? Anybody with any illnesses? Anybody with any troubles or difficulties? Ailments, handicaps. Listen, our entire medical profession, think about it, the entire medical profession is rooted in your being sick. If you didn't have your weaknesses, ailments, whatever, they wouldn't even have a business. Ever wonder why so many people hurt so much? I've oftentimes wondered, why is it that people hurt so much? Well, the answer is simple. And I say it's simple, but it's also very amazing. And that is because we are living in a weakened world. We're living in an infirm world. We have to admit it, everybody on the planet. We have weaknesses. Some of them are so strong that you might as well call them strengths. It actually means a lack of strength in a particular area of your life. Now look at what Paul says when he brings up the subject in these churches. Look what he says. You know about how through infirmity of the flesh. Listen, folks, it's always infirmity of the flesh. The weaknesses of the flesh. Paul says how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Yet of myself, watch this, I will not glory except in my weaknesses. I think that strengths have a tendency to produce pride. Does anybody here know what weaknesses have a tendency to produce? Weaknesses have a tendency to produce humility. Well, the one weakness that I want to say something to you to about today is the weakness of not knowing what you should pray for as you should. Now, I want to be clear, everybody here has that same weakness. Listen to this. Everybody here has that exact same weakness. So my procedure today is going to be that I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. And I want to answer the questions, of course, from God's Word. My first question was, do you have a weakness when it comes to the matter or the area of prayer? I guess I'm going to answer it for myself. Yes, I do. My second question, who or what or where can I go to get my weakness met? And my answer is going to be the Holy Spirit. Question number three, how does the Holy Spirit help me when it comes to prayer? You need to think about how many things that the Holy Spirit has already done or is doing for you right now. But look at what the Scripture says. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Let's just stop right there and ask the question along this line here. What does the Holy Spirit do, or how does the Holy Spirit help? He helps your infirmities. You admitted you have them. You admitted you have it as it relates to prayer. The point of Paul is that the person of the Holy Spirit is here to help, plural, your infirmities. So the Holy Spirit has been given by God to you to help in the area of infirmities. Look at what the Bible says. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. What Scripture says. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I'm going to say to you this morning, question number one again. Do you have a weakness when it comes to prayer? Yes. Who or what or where can I go to get my weakness met? The Holy Spirit. Question number three. How does the Holy Spirit help me when it comes to prayer. Here's the scripture again. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. Two things. You hear them there? Two things. He helps your weaknesses, and He intercedes for you. Now, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but I will tell you that this is where you're at. I don't know where you're at with respect to weaknesses, but here's where you're at. I don't know where you're at with respect to prayer, but here's where you're at right here. The Holy Spirit helps your weaknesses. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. That's what the Scripture says. Now, all the ministries of the Spirit are practical, but I want to remind you that all the Spirit's ministries are also very personal. One-on-one, the Holy Spirit is concerned about my weaknesses, and the Holy Spirit is concerned about intercession for me. Practical and very personal ministries. I'm thinking that this might be the most important. I can't say that for sure. But I've learned, and I think maybe you are learning like I am, that over the years, it seems like you're always on a learning curve when it comes to prayer. It's like it's a constant learning experience to be a man or woman of prayer. When I'm thinking I'm learning how to pray, I discover I know so little. And the things that I bring to the Lord are oftentimes overwhelming. But since I know that God is the God of the impossible, I still bring them anyway. It oftentimes appears, seems, whatever, to me when I pray. It's like I got to get started all over again. What I did yesterday, I was just so glad I could have a time of prayer, and next day comes along, and I have the same need that I had 24 hours ago with respect to my being a man of prayer. Same problem. Can I pray? Why are all these thoughts going through my mind? Why am I thinking about that when I should be thinking about this? In every single day, I'm thinking I'm learning how to pray. And then the next day comes. The Holy Spirit is the answer. Look what the Scripture says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You got weaknesses? You got many weaknesses? You got a weakness in prayer? You don't know how to pray as you should? God provides solution. Solution number one is God's Spirit, who's concerned about your weaknesses and interceding on your behalf. I think that you need the Spirit more than you need food or prayer or any other thing that occupies your mind or your day. You need the Holy Spirit more than any of those things. And the Bible says here that God promises, look what the Scripture says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? Now, what happened when you were saved? What happened with respect to the Holy Spirit when you were saved? The Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, and then the Holy Spirit pointed you to the cross. The Holy Spirit made sure you knew you were a sinner, but then He pointed you to Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Bible then says, came to indwell you at the moment you put your trust in Jesus. At the moment I trusted in Christ, I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that moment something happened. God's Spirit came to dwell within me. And the Holy Spirit at that point became my teacher. Patient teacher He is. Christ my Savior, the Holy Spirit my teacher. But of all the works of the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking that maybe this is the most important when it comes to the matter of prayer. You see, you're thinking to yourself, well, who can handle prayer? Do you know anybody who's a man or a woman of prayer? Are you going to go to them and say, will you explain to me, you know, why whenever I'm praying that I just can't corral my thoughts? And you know what you're going to do? You're going to go to the right person for help. Yes, you can go to books. Yes, you can go to people. You can try to figure it out on your own, or you can go to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that He's the one. A number of years ago, I memorized Romans 8:26 all the way to the end of Romans chapter 8. I have said this in review in my heart, folks, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But you know how God works? Sometimes what God does with what you've memorized and what you're meditating on, and He just takes one little word and He gives you light into your spirit and you get some understanding. That's the way it is with the Bible, because it's so vast, it's so powerful, it's so amazing, it's so full, there is so much there. You can take one word from your Bible and it can give you tremendous light on how to walk with Almighty God. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, because we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm saying to you this morning, what does the Apostle Paul mean? What does Paul mean? The Holy Spirit comes alongside and prays along with you. Have you ever prayed together with somebody else? If you're a Christian, the answer is yes. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays along with you when you pray. That's what this little word, make intercession, means. It says there that the Spirit Himself makes intercession. It means that He comes alongside you and He prays along with you. Listen, while you are praying, the Holy Spirit is praying. He may be praying with groanings which cannot be uttered, but He is praying. Let's say you decide that you're going to pray and you begin to find it difficult and you can't collect your thoughts and you can't get yourself going, but you stick with it. You stick with it in faith because God said to do it. And you don't let your thoughts get the best of you, and you pray and you ask and you surrender and you look to the Lord. And you know that the need is there, and you know that you have to have a place and time and experience of prayer. And you just stay at it. I will tell you that those who stay at it are finding that the Holy Spirit prays alongside them. Look what the Scripture says here. He spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to not faint. Doesn't that imply something to you? Do you know when you faint? Anybody ever fainted? Were you really strong and sturdy and wow, and just feel all my energy when you fainted? Or were you weak when you fainted? Doesn't this imply that all of us are in the same boat? He spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not give up. I can't tell you the number of times I've not felt like praying. I stuck with it. I didn't give up. I didn't feel as though I lost my faith. Listen, folks, it is an element of faith when you persist in prayer. And the Bible, Jesus promises that if you pray in secret, He'll reward you openly. The best illustration of this is found in the story over in the book of Acts, which is phenomenal in a lot of respects. But look what it says here. I'll give you part of the story. It's in Acts 12, verse 23. Peter knocks at the door of the gate. You remember the story? Peter's knocking at the door of the gate. There's a group of people who were praying for Peter while he was in prison. It's now in the middle of the night. They're still gathered at somebody's house having this prayer meeting. Peter comes to the door and he starts making some kind of noise to get the people inside to be aware of the fact that he's there. I don't think that Peter knew they were in there praying. I'll just leave that with you. But here's what the Bible says. Peter knocks at the door of the gate, and a girl, a young girl, damsel, comes to hearken, to listen, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened up the door for gladness and left him standing there. She ran in and she told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "You are crazy." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, "It's his angel." Peter keeps on knocking. Finally, they open up the door and they see him. Now look at the next line in your Bible. Look what it says there. They were so full of faith when they were praying that they just knew that when they opened the door that God had answered their prayer, and there was their dear friend Peter. Isn't that what it says in your Bible? It says this: they were astonished. Listen, even when you're tired and you still pray, even when you don't know what to pray and you still pray, even when you're trying to control your thoughts and you just turn yourself over to the Lord in prayer, He responds in His love and in His kindness and His faithfulness and His goodness to you. I personally think that the Lord must have been astonished at the fact that they were astonished. What in the world were they doing in the middle of the night but praying and asking God to deliver Peter? And God's going like this: these people amaze me. What did they think I was going to do? Say no? I'll tell you something, folks. Nobody here feels like they are a good prayer. Those of you who feel like you're good prayers are probably among the worst. Because that means you're so proud of yourself. You are a good prayer. Really? Listen, folks. When the Lord answers like that, and a ring shows up at the bottom of a basket, and you say to yourself, "Well, I knew it. I just knew God was going to put that ring somewhere where I was going to just grab it today. I had so much faith." Right? Isn't that what Sylvia said? Isn't that what she said? Listen, folks. We respond the way we respond. There's nothing wrong with the fact that they were astonished. But I think that the Lord is astonished when we're astonished. this is how prayer works. I want you to understand this is how prayer works, and this is how God set up a prayer life. And the Holy Spirit is praying at the exact moment that you are praying. Well, he doesn't use words like you and me. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he uses groans that cannot be put into words. That's what your Bible says. Oh, here's my sentence here. I thought that God's more astonished when we're fine. But anyway, the Holy Spirit is praying at the exact moment that you are praying. Scripture says, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Remember what it says there. Prays along with us. Intercession, prays along with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the way prayer works. If that's new to you, good. But that's the way prayer works. Prayer happens when you keep praying. The Holy Spirit groans as you pray. The Holy Spirit is right alongside you whenever you pray. God's Spirit prays alongside you when you are bringing your burdens and your thoughts and your words to your Heavenly Father. Listen, praying, John Hyde said that it's the communion of two wills. Well, praying John Hyde, I think, had a tremendous grasp on prayer. I'm saying to you folks today that true prayer happens when you keep on praying, when you feel too weak to pray, or you're too tired, or too whatever to get it right. Because the Spirit's ministry of prayer is this. When you pray, he prays alongside you. Those of you who think you are such poor prayers and you can't join us for prayer on Wednesdays, I want to admonish you and I want to encourage you. None of us who pray think that we are good prayers. We ain't. But we do have somebody that comes to prayer every Wednesday night that does pray very well. True. And that is the Holy Spirit. You have someone who will pray alongside you if you will take prayer as God has presented it into the Bible, where God commands us to pray. Even when you feel too tired, even when you feel too weak. Listen, the Spirit's ministry is prayer. The Spirit's ministry is this. You pray, he prays within you, even when you don't think you have prayed well, even when you have not prayed with the right words. Prayer is effective because the Holy Spirit is groaning inside your words. Can I understand that? No way I can't understand that. You think God understands? You think he knows your thoughts? You think he knows your feelings? You think he knows your tears? You think he understands when you're thinking that your prayer is a failure? Listen, with the Holy Spirit, your prayers are always effective. Look at your Bible. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Matthew 18. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And of course, that's because you're such a great prayer. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The key to becoming a man or a woman of prayer is simple. It's a simple five-letter word. Faith. It's not how great a prayer you are, but it's how simple a prayer you are. Simple faith. The Lord says, pray and don't faint. Pray when it feels like you're not making a lot of progress. Pray like a little child who is asking something from his mother. Pray and know that every time you pray, there is a groaning by the Holy Spirit at the same moment that you bring your words and your thoughts to your Heavenly Father. Think about that little child, your son or your daughter, asking you for something, and you will be able to say, that's prayer. And just like you, a parent doesn't give your child exactly what they asked on the very day in your adult wisdom and your adult love. You withhold a request until the right day and the right time, just like that. And maybe the reason why sometimes it seems as God is withholding is because He wants you to come to Him, says my good friend George. God withholds that man may ask. I've asked my questions today. I've got a couple more, but I want you to answer them with me. Do you have a weakness when it comes to prayer? Yes. Who or what or where can I go to get my weakness met? The Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit help me when it comes to prayer? He prays right along with me with groanings that cannot be uttered. Maybe I should ask this question here. Does prayer work? We think that prayer works only when we find the ring at the bottom of the bag. That's what we think about prayer. We have such a minuscule concept of prayer. We think that if we find it, or we got it, or, you know, listen, the Holy Spirit is praying alongside you when you pray. That in and of itself shows you the way prayer works. The Holy Spirit prays inside my prayers with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, does prayer work? Shall I say it like this? When you pray, God fixes your prayers. When you pray, God fixes them. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Bible says the following. There's something going on when I'm praying. There's something so big going on when I'm praying. You ready for it? The person who knows my heart, the one who is referred to as the one who searches the hearts. Look what he's doing. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, who really can't make any mistakes when he prays. See, so we do have a perfect prayer. Look what it says. He knows the mind of the Spirit. Look what it says. Because he makes intercession according to the will of God. I don't understand the process. I'm just telling you what the process is. God sees it. God knows that while you're praying, God is doing what He's doing best. Listen what He's doing. He's searching your heart. It's not just finding the ring at the bottom of the bag. He's searching your heart. What did you think prayer was? Prayer was getting everything I asked from God. I needed a car and I got it. I needed a job and I got it. Really? You know what prayer is? Prayer is God searching your heart. Oh, really? Is that what the Bible says? He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I can't understand the process. I admit that to you. But does prayer work? Does anybody remember the story of the two fellows that came to the temple to pray? One guy was a braggart. He was going on about telling how, you know, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I... Remember that fella? He was praying, wasn't he? Wasn't he praying? Oh, you're debating whether he's praying or not. And the other guy, all he did was sense that he needed God's mercy. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, that man went down to his house justified, and not the other. One realized he needed the mercy of God. So I'm going to tell you what prayer really is. It's the Lord in search of that pure heart of a simple man and a simple woman. Do you have any idea who was searching the hearts of these two men when they went to the temple that day? It was the Lord. And the guy that said, be merciful to me, a sinner, was praying a prayer that obviously God answered. You see what the Lord does when he searches your heart? He listens to the voice of the Spirit speaking in you. And that's because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's making intercession for you and me. So I don't know where you're at when it comes to prayer, but I know somebody that does. And I'm telling you right now, this searching of the heart business is a whole lot bigger and better than getting something. Believe me, he that searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, please, folks. Your heavenly Father hears you pray. And while you are praying, two things are going on. Thing number one, he knows exactly what the mindset of the Spirit is. And number two, he receives the intercession of the Spirit on your behalf, because the Holy Spirit can only pray according to the will of God. Do you have a weakness when it comes to prayer? Yep. Who or what or where can I go to get my weakness met? The Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit help me? He prays right alongside me with groanings which cannot be uttered. So does prayer work? Absolutely. Last question. Well, a preacher who says last probably should be whatever. I probably will ask you more questions. So last, what happens when you pray? You get to know God. See, your Heavenly Father hears you when you pray. He listens. Things are going on while you are praying that you don't know anything about, because the Holy Spirit is carrying on a ministry personally and practically for you of groaning. Yeah, how in the world do we understand that? You can't, okay? You can't. It's a communication between the members of the Trinity. I can't. But I know that some of you are thinking that you are quite poor at praying. Well, hallelujah. You're on the right track. You're on the right track. But is it a good reason to not pray? See, there's another question. Is it not a is that a good reason to not join in fellowship with us on Wednesdays for prayer? Does that really mean you're as poor a prayer as you think you are? Listen, there is not a good prayer among us except the Holy Spirit. But if God calls us to pray together as a church and we fail to do so, it's just simply a matter of our being disobedient to Him. Because obedience in the highest level for a child of God that there is this business of prayer. I've asked all the questions today, but I said, what happens when you pray, you get to know God? A fellow by the name of Horace Bushnell, who was born on April 14, 1802, a place called Bantam, Connecticut. He died in a place called Hartford, Connecticut on February 17, 1876. At one point in his life, true story, Bushnell was suffering from an incurable and a terminal illness. His friend, Dr. Parks Cadman, by the way, told this story, or I read this story by way of Dr. Parks Cadman, that Bushnell was really suffering. And he recalls that Bushnell's pastor friend came to see him. His pastor friend was Joseph Twitchell. Pastor Twitchell came to see Horace while he was sick. And they were sitting together under a beautiful starlit sky. And Bushnell says to his friend Twitchell, "Ought not one of us to pray?" And Pastor Twitchell, he says to Bushnell, "Why don't you pray?" So Pastor Bushnell proceeded to pour his heart out to God. There came over Pastor Twitchell such a wonderful sense of the nearness of God that he wrote these words. "When Horace Bushnell buried his face in his hands and prayed, I was afraid to stretch out my hand in the darkness, lest I should touch God." Brings to mind Psalm 62, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." E.M. Bounds, "Nothing but prayer can bring God and man into this happy communion." One of my favorite writers is Oswald Chambers. "Prayer is the way that the life of God in us is nourished. Our common ideas regarding prayer are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer as a means of getting things for ourselves, but the biblical purpose for prayer is that we may get to know God Himself." You say, why does he keep asking these questions over and over again? Maybe I'm asking myself that question. I don't know. Do you have a weakness when it comes to prayer? Yes. Who or what or where can I go to get my weakness met? The Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit help me when it comes to prayer? He prays right along with me with groanings which cannot be uttered. Does prayer work? Absolutely. And what happens when you pray? You get to know God. One final word. Final? Again, final? Is there no end to final? Many persons believe in the efficacy of prayer, but not many pray. Prayer is the easiest and hardest of all things, the simplest and the sublimest, the weakest and the most powerful. Its results lie outside the range of human possibilities. They are only limited by the omnipotence of God. So you know what prayer really comes down to? It's really a matter of the will to keep doing it as God commanded you to do. So is there anybody here who will pray, Lord, help me when I pray? I am absolutely sure that He will help you to pray. Father, again, we do seek help. We need help. Our desire, Father, is for You, that we might know You, Lord, as the Apostle Paul even prayed that prayer, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. For that one here today, dear Lord, who's got their eyes open a little wider, that a little shaft of light has come into their spirit, and now they can see something about prayer they haven't seen before. Oh, Lord, that one here today would say, thank You, Lord, for just a little bit more light, as You're showing me what I need to know in my prayer life. We do pray and ask again, our Heavenly Father, at this day, that our hearts would be centered upon You and not the things in this world, because we got so many things to do, so much to bother us, so much to plague us and irritate us. And yet, dear Lord, we thank You that Your Spirit is dealing with us so gently and kindly and teaching us. And then praying along with us, Lord, we just want to say thank You again and again for the way You set this up, Lord. We praise You. In Jesus' wonderful name.